You're listening to the Liberty News Radio Network, and this is the Political Cesspool. The Political Cesspool, known across the South and worldwide as the South's foremost populist conservative radio program, and here to guide you through the murky waters of the political cesspool is your host, James Edwards.
Welcome back to the second hour of tonight's live broadcast of the Political Cesspool radio program. I am your host, James Edwards. Don't forget to join us at the online chat room. We just had a friendly round of TPC trivia there at cfcc.org, and now it is my great honor to welcome back to the program a very old friend of mine, a man I look up to a great deal, a man who has lived the life on the front lines that we should all try to emulate. Joe McCutchen, an activist for the Constitution and against unwise policies on immigration, legal and illegal, for decades. He has spearheaded efforts to get politicians defeated on the basis of their anti-American policies and to get various anti-immigration organizations to coalesce in their efforts for these reasons and more. Joe has been a long-sought after guest on talk radio shows across the country. He's back with us tonight to talk about what I would call the GOP's most recent surrender, but I guess, Joe, you would have to assume that they ever opposed amnesty in the first place to warrant an actual surrender, would you not?
You're exactly right, James. There never was any intent to deport or deny amnesty. Everything is for more open borders, an increase in the illegal and the legal foreign national invasions that are absolutely destroying the very presence of middle-class America. And I think at this point, perhaps there's less than 50% of the founding stock of our former preeminent republic left in this country. And you could pose the question, why is our government, our elected officials and appointed, so willing to trade down? And when I say trade down, I mean allow third and fourth world illegals and legals to invade our nation and destroy the very substance of our founders. It's just, it's beyond belief that they could be such traitors, and that's exactly what they are, both Republicans and Democrats. And this new Republican Congress is an embarrassment to civilized society.
Well, tell us how you really
feel.
They're
weak as grandma's iced tea, I'll say that. And, of course, that is the hallmark of the Republican in name only party now that we have. It's that they are feckless. Feckless is the perfect word for them. Totally ineffective if they were actually intending to do something about it. Instead, I think that they're in the tank. They want the flood of immigrants to continue for whatever reasons. Either they're cowardly or they want cheap labor. I don't know which one it is. But
Well, and it really doesn't matter why. I mean, the fact of the matter is that it is what it is. They both have to kiss the same ring. They both have to be put under the heel of the Jewish financiers, the Sheldon Adelsons, who fund both parties.
Money talks and BS walks.
Well, that's right, and
say,
the PAC money and the special interests, and they're all in the tank together. There is no real opposition up there. I mean, maybe one or two. But, Joe, I remember, I think we had you on before the midterms, back in advance of, I guess, either right around November or right after it. And I know better. I know better, but I thought maybe they would feign a resistance to Obama's executive amnesty, at least give that crumb to their base. But you said no way, and once again, you're proven right.
Well, when I get off on these subjects, James and Keith, I feel like I'm firing a scattergun. One thing just quickly leads to something else and something else and something else. And you can't give any deference to either one of the parties. They are so criminally corrupt to the core. There's no way to defend this bunch. The Republicans are warmongering. And the Democrats will tell you straight on that they're out to redistribute everything they can get their hands on. And when what makes the Republicans, in my judgment, more dangerous than the Democrats is simply they hide under the veil of the Constitution and conservatism. And They're such liars, grand liars. And it's really important. All of the nefarious activities, other things, foreign governments. Last one would be Ukraine, and they've been trying for years to dump the government in Syria. And it's reverting back to American citizens. When they're able to nullify the middle-class America that we know, that's when they own this nation and a good part of the globe. We're the last obstruction in their way. And unless we have a caliber of individual who comes along and the American people are smart enough to elect him or her, one of the characters out of the mold of a Jefferson and an R.E. Lee and Southern rednecks come alive, that's our only chance, plus voting out all incumbents, no matter what party. If you allow an incumbent to stay in more than 1 year, you're subsidizing your own demise. There are no good politicians. You have to understand that.
These people who vote thinking that elections, they still have a voice there. I mean, it's almost like they're abused children. The more they get mistreated by those in authority, the tighter they cling to the hope that something's going to change. And, you know, elections, and we wrote this on the website, have really become meaningless because the fate of public policy issues like immigration are ultimately determined by small cliques of billionaires who can bribe politicians in a way that we can't. And even if it's not that, Joe, if you get obviously a guy like Robert E. Lee or Thomas Jefferson, you're talking about, you know, one in a million. But for even the good people who do get elected, we had who was it that Eddie had on a few weeks back? Detective Jim Rothstein, I think it was. You know, it just talks about the bribery and the cliques and the women and just all of the vices thrown at you to where they own you. They'll find your vice and you'll take the bait, and then you're done. Just like Steve Scalise. I mean, he would have been better off resigning from office after the Duke scandal happened, the so-called scandal, because, look, he voted for this. They've got him by the short and curlies now. He'll never be able to make a decent vote again because they're going to bring up that, hey, he may or may not have gone to a David Duke meeting 20 years ago. So what do you do?
Well,
I mean, what do you do?
You've talked about this before, but the Frankfurt School that came about in the 30s have been eminently successful in installing political correctness. This is something that, as they said, our march through the institutions, and they have been totally successful across the board in implementing political correctness, which is more dangerous than an atomic bomb. And I'll make two thoughts here. Number one, in my opinion, Hillary Clinton is done. She'll be resuscitated here for the next 2 or 3 months, but I do not believe for one moment she'll be the Democrat nominee. And secondly, for your consideration and your audience, I'd like for you to think about Senator James Webb, a former senator from Virginia, Democrat. I'm intimately familiar with James' history going back to the 1600s, and I can tell you that this man is made of the mold of the Jefferson.
I've read his book, Born Fighting. He's great guy.
He's born to lead. And he's a man that they can't let a gov on in any way, and he's his own man.
Got to take a break, Joe. Thank you
for
being
with
us tonight. We'll be back right after this.
Imagine a school where faith and integrity are at its center, where heritage and responsibility instill character, where educating both hearts and minds brings about academic excellence. There is a school in American Fork where character and embracing the providence of a living God are fundamental, where students' national test scores average near the 90th percentile. Based on LDS principles and a love of country, now in our 39th year, American Heritage School is accepting fall enrollment for kindergarten through high school. What would you do for your child? Give them an education that will prepare them for life. Located east of the Temple in American Fork, American Heritage School is a remarkable and affordable alternative. Visit us, find us online, or in the Yellow Pages. American Heritage School in American Fork.
liberty is not free. Its costs are innumerable. Without monetary funding, the valiant efforts of freedom-loving Americans become diminished or outright defeated. We present a solution, the Give Me Liberty Fund. The plan is quite simple. Invite individual Americans to contribute less than a dollar a day. These monetary funds are used to promote liberty-minded media, organizations, events, candidates, movements, and speakers. In the spirit of transparency, all expenditures are published. Patriotic business owners provide discounted products and services to Give Me Liberty Fund members. Our greatest strength is in numbers. Go to GiveMeLibertyFund.com and become part of the solution today. GiveMeLibertyFund.com. Participate in the peaceful restoration of the greatest and freest country in the world.
Hello, everyone. James Edwards here. Are you sick and tired of liberals and race hustlers and the media calling you a racist just because you oppose Obama's policies? Well, my friend, those days are over. After you read Racism Schmacism, you'll never again fear being called the R word. I invite you to discover why every conservative in America needs a copy of my explosive new book. Racism Schmacism has received much critical acclaim and will equip you with the key to unlock their socio-political nuclear bomb once and for all. Order your copy today by visiting the official website of the Political Cesspool radio program, thepoliticalcesspool.org. Proceeds of each sale go to help keeping our award-winning show on the air, and they make great gifts for your conservative friend or family member. Buy Racism Schmacism today at www.thepoliticalcesspool.org.
Get on the show and speak with James and the gang, call us toll-free at 1-866-986-6397. And now, back to tonight's show.
I want to thank Joe McCutchen for coming on. I mean, that guy is so prescient. I mean, he should be in the seat that Dick Morris occupies. I don't know if he's ever been wrong in a prediction. I thought that the Republicans might, even though they really want amnesty, I thought they might pretend to oppose it, at least through the presidential election, so they could have the House, Senate, and White House. But
as soon as they get in, they capitulate. And, you know, Joe is sharp as a tack. He's in his 80s, by the way, ladies and gentlemen. And he's still sharp as a tack. He's still right on it, you know, hits the nail on the head all the time. Well, and I'm also glad that he brought in the philosophical underpinning for all of this, the Frankfurt School in Cultural Marxism. Now, he mentioned the long march through the institutions. That's their primary tactic. They infiltrate every institution that sets or contributes to the creation of a culture, particularly anything that sets moral or ethical values. They take it over. That prevents them from having to go to the inconvenience of raising their own money and having their own universities or their own TV networks or whatnot. They take yours over. And how do they do? Once they get in, what do? They apply critical theory. That's another very important concept in cultural Marxism. What is the theory? The theory is to criticize, relentless criticism, just like law enforcement, as Sean Bergen and Peter Scoop Scanton were pointing out, are undergoing an unrelenting firestorm of criticism, right out of the Frankfurt School's Cultural Marxist Playbook. And what is that intended to produce? The third great concept of cultural Marxism, cultural pessimism in whites. You see, black football players can rape women, they can beat people up, they can rob convenience stores, and, well, boys will be boys. On the other hand, white college kids that haven't committed any crime utter the dreaded N-word, a word that is uttered every second of every minute of every day by a rapper somewhere in the world, and he's getting paid to do it, and he's being lionized and praised for using it. They use it, and they're cast into the outer darkness. They are worse than sinners, according to this pathetic skull and bones leader of the University of Oklahoma, David Boren, who by the way, Skull and Bones is a particularly pernicious secret society, a kind of quasi-fraternity that exists at Yale University. The Bushes were members of it. All sorts of other high-ranking people throughout American history have been in. Fred Smith, for example, here in Memphis, the head of Federal Express was a member. And these people had the unmitigated gall to try to call out this basically a very admirable fraternity, Sigma Alpha Epsilon. I had two of my children belong to that fraternity, and I can tell you it is one of the premier fraternities in the whole fraternity system. But according to the politically correct, if it has a majority of white members, then it is automatically to be deemed racist, corrupt, evil. And when the young hear this, I've heard young white people in college say, apologize for being white. Our race has done all these terrible things. You know, Susan Sontag's famous byline that the white race is the cancer of human history is being drilled into the heads of the young. This is the inducement of cultural pessimism. This is there, and that will be softened up for the kill. That's exactly what it's for. It'll be like T.S. Eliot said in The Hollow Men, this is the way the world will end, not with a bang, but a whimper. It will be a whimper because our people have been so demoralized by cultural Marxism and the inducement of cultural pessimism that we won't put up a fight. That's their hope.
And getting back, Keith, to what Joe was on to talk about, the Republican capitulation, if you can call it that, to Obama's executive amnesty, just enough Republicans just so happened to vote for it so it could pass. Surprise, surprise, as it always seems to happen. But we'll still, hey, listen, there'll still be conservatives saying, hey, we got to beat Hillary or we got to beat whomever. We got to get the Republicans in there. And Sam Dixon is so right. You know, it is not our government anymore. It is their government. There is no voice in government for conservative whites. And let me tell you this, and then I'll turn it back to Keith. If you want to prove that to yourself, don't take my word for it. Go to your next town hall meeting of your local congressman or senator, and you go there, and you can ask them one of four questions. You can say, Congressman, what is your plan to help benefit the lives of your black constituents? And he'll have this great plan. It's something that has been well thought out. What is your plan to help advance the interests of homosexuals? And there'll be a heartfelt answer. What is your plan to advance the issues of the Jewish community? Oh, he'll wring his hands and tell you exactly, and it'll come from the heart. What is your plan to help European Americans? And you will be thrown out of the room.
That's exactly right, James. We, according to Pat Buchanan, he said that the establishment of the 60s is now the distant culture of today, and the counterculture of the 60s is now the new establishment. That's what we're seeing in front of us now. We're seeing the establishment praising a bunch of crazy demonstrators in Ferguson, Missouri, and pillaring the police departments throughout the nation. This is Alice in Wonderland, and this is why we need to understand the whole animus of cultural Marxism. The genius of it was they said that Marx and Engels were wrong. Economic class isn't the fault line in society. Even religion is not the fault line. The fault line is race. We are being targeted because we're white Gentiles. Everything is anti-white Gentile. If there is any way to attack white Gentiles, that's what they're looking for. That is the news story that they're salivating to get. Anything against anyone else is to be blithely ignored, James.
Well, what more can we say than that except for we will continue to vote and lose in these meaningless elections. You know, there has never been, and I'm not saying that across the board. Certainly some of the local elections, state representative, councilman, alderman, mayor, they may benefit you in some shape, form, or fashion. But when you're talking about the big races, United States Congressman, United States Senator, President, you know, you can't win. Both sides of the coin are the same.
Just like the Who said, here comes the new boss, just like the old boss. It doesn't matter. These people are, they're like the dog on the old RCA.
But the more we lose.
They're on the RCA, like the dog in the RCA Victor commercials from back around the turn of the century. They know their master's voice, and they heed to it. Money controls them, Jewish money for the most part. They give 75% of the money to elect nationwide candidates in the Democratic Party, and over 40% of the money to elect Republicans. So consequently, we know who the master's voice is that they're heeding. And there is there's nothing fair, there's nothing principled about it. They pretend that it is, but it's basically just anti-white racial discrimination, pure and simple.
And regrettably, the more we are betrayed by our so-called elected public servants, the harder we wave the flag. It's just the way it is. But, you know, what are you going to do? The only true path to legitimate power right now is through elected office, but it's so hard to break through. And even in the very rare situations where you do get a good guy, he's either bought by the time he gets ascended into office, or they find his vice and they get him there. It's a tough game. But I'm going to tell you about another guy that ran right after this.
Protecting your liberties. You're listening to Liberty News Radio.
Each week, the political cesspool, known worldwide as the South's foremost populist conservative radio program, hits the airwaves to bring you the other side of the news and to report on events which are vital to your welfare but are hushed up or distorted by the mainstream media. However, to continue doing this, we need your support. Go online at www.thepoliticalcesspool.org and make a safe and secure donation. If you prefer not to make an online donation, you can send us a check or money order to the address on the website. No matter which way you choose, the Political Cesspool needs your support. Go online to www.thepoliticalcesspool.org and make a donation today. Are you a native son or daughter of the South who bleeds the stars and bars? Someone not born in Dixieland, but who is a Johnny Reb at heart and looking for a place to shop that promotes Southern heritage? Well, your search is over. Dixie Republic is the place to go for all things celebrating the Confederacy and promoting Southern pride. Inside the log cabin just outside Travelers Rest, South Carolina, Dixie Republic has t-shirts, hats, videos, flags, books, belt buckles, and some of the best mouth-watering barbecue sauce that will ever touch your lips. There's just about everything you want honoring the South at Dixie Republic. Well, you say that South Carolina's a bit too far for you to drive? Have no fear, my friend. All of this is just a mouse click away. Go online at www.dixierepublic.com. You're home for all things celebrating the Confederacy and promoting Southern pride.
Listen, do you hear that sound? It started low, but it's getting progressively louder. Into a crescendo, even louder. Irresistible, ending in an ear-splitting blast of mass disruption. That's the sound of America's economic and political systems crashing to the ground. But we have a plan. We will be ready to restore political sanity. We will be ready to answer the call of productive America. We will restore America's industrial base and put America back to work. We will shut down political correctness and restore decency and positive media to America. We will save our Constitution, our traditional way of life, our customs, and religion. We will restore sound money and crush the debt-based system of monetary slavery. And we will end America's foreign misadventures. We are the American Freedom Party, and we have a plan. Learn more about us, the American Freedom Party. US.
Oh yeah, ho, wanna be by my side. Oh yeah, ho, now it's finally time.
It's time to jump back into the political cesspool. To be part of the show and have your voice heard around the world, call us at 1-866-986-6397.
Well, ladies and gentlemen, a catastrophe was narrowly averted, and little did I know about it until just now. So Keith Alexander was to be with us for the first hour and a half, Eddie the Bombardier for the last hour and a half, although Eddie was going to get to the studio well in advance of his scheduled slot tonight to just sit in before, you know, taking the microphone in hand. Eddie very nearly wasn't able to be here at all. You know, this is what we're talking about, coming out here, sacrificing, you know, not that it's hard to drive out to the radio station, but Eddie nearly had an accident tonight. Eddie, tell him what happened.
Well, I tell you what, in our business here, and especially where the studio has been located, you know, we talk about the old bean field. You know that too. Well, anyway, we're out here in the boonies, and Pappy's usually ahead of time. And as some boy can tell you, Pappy usually drives like Grandma Moses, because I've seen him a lot of wrecks. But I was rolling down the road. I think, what is it, 40 or 45-mile speed zone out there, James?
Yeah.
I was rolling probably, I guess, bumping 70. It's totally unlike Pappy. Should have had the lights on bright. And all of a sudden, man, there was deer all over the crapping highway. And I'm on my horn, laying out the horn, and now I know why they say the deer in the headlights look, even though I've been hunted all my life. But you're talking about, it took me back to, the way I drove took me back to my pre-Vietnam days when I was trying to run from the cops. I mean, I was doing some fancy driving. I was in my
19- a veritable Duke of Hazzard.
I'll tell you what, I had a 1969 Roadrunner with a Ram Air, man, with an optional 440. That baby would roll and pass everything but a gas station. Didn't even have radio in it. But the pickup trucks, as you guys know, they're light on the rear end. And when you start jamming down on those brakes, you start this thing called fishtailing. Well, I fishtailed my tail right off on the edge of a ditch. I was able to get out, but it was pretty doubtful there for a while. But I'll tell you what, I had tighter, closer calls, but I can't remember when. I guess it was back in my old cop Russian days.
Or at Vietnam, yeah. Maybe. But but listen, folks, this actually just happened. I just found out about it when Eddie got to the radio station, because I was wondering, well, it's 7:30 Central Time. Why is Eddie not here yet? I mean, he's ready to go on. He just walked in as Keith was walking out to the parking lot. I said, Eddie, what happened? Eddie ran off the road, was in a ditch, and was barely able to get his vehicle out of the ditch. But luckily, Eddie is not a hurt. That could have been much more serious. I mean, did you think when you were spinning out of control that, hey, if you're going to die, you might as well die trying to get on the radio?
Well, the show must go on. I mean, what's a life or two here or there, you know?
It would have had to go on without you tonight. I see, I would have called, left you dirty messages. You would have been dead on the way to the studio.
On my tombstone, they could say, he sacrificed it all. He avoided it.
Died, you know, for a call. Hey, you would have really died. You would have literally and legitimately died for the call.
Well,
I'm glad we can joke about it now, because when did this happen? 10 minutes ago?
10 minutes ago, tops, yeah.
Wow.
The PETA people would be fine. They'd be great, because they said, well, at least he didn't hit that deer. But next time, I'm giving the PETA folks fair warning. You better get those deer off the road, because I'm going to run right over them, man.
Well, speaking of, I don't know how I can gingerly segue this or transition. Eddie and I are going to have fun the last half of the show tonight.
You better believe it.
And, you know, we've had two great guests tonight, Sean Bergen and Joe McCutcheon, who's one of your favorites, I know, Eddie. And Keith and I covered some of the issues. But for the remaining part of the program, ladies and gentlemen, we're going to be speaking from the heart. We've already shot from the hip, so we're going to be speaking from the heart. And I think one of the things that makes this show so special and so unique is the very intimate way with which we speak to our audience, and how the audience is part of our lives, and we like to share stories, and we like to share experiences with our audience. I enjoy having the audience be able to relate to us. And, you know, if we got on here and we just did commentary every, you know, segment, that would be fine, and you would still certainly, you know, I hope, enjoy that. But one of the things we like is just opening ourselves up from time to time. And we're going to do that tonight because, as we mentioned at the end of the program last week, Gordon Baum, the longtime pillar of the Council of Conservative Citizens, passed away, I believe it was last Friday, so a day in advance of last week's show. And my wife and I immediately drove to St. Louis after the live broadcast last week so that we could pay our respects. And, you know, Gordon, I had known Gordon and worked with Gordon for about 10 years. Pretty much right after the show went on the air, we began working with the Council of Conservative Citizens, and they've done a lot to promote the political cesspool and have helped us a great deal. And I was able to go there, and it just really, though, has sunk in the variety of ways in which I will miss Gordon. You know, when I was there at his funeral, it was just so great. I was honored to be there. I felt it my duty to go there and be with a brother who has gone on to his eternal reward. And it was great to be able to hug his wife, who I know very well, and tell her how much Gordon meant to me. But, you know, now that the shock is over, you know, it begins to settle, and you know how you're going to miss the guy. I mean, I'll miss receiving his phone calls. I'll miss catching up with him at the occasions at which our paths would have crossed. I'll miss his distinctive accent and sense of humor when he appeared as a guest on this show. I'll miss going to the Midnight Jamboree at the Troubadour Theater in Nashville after a meeting, which we did every year. And I'll miss my friend.
You know, James, I got to chime in here.
Sure.
You know, I didn't know Gordon near as long as you did. Gordon, I see Gordon is like an icon, and what you see in Gordon and me and Keith, we're the old vanguard, you know, and we're dying out. You know, I'm very healthy. In fact, I knocked out 13
miles. You very
miles.
Well could have died out tonight.
Yes, I could have. I could have died
out. I say that half joking now that you're here, but, I mean, it's really not a joke. I mean, I joke to stave off the seriousness of it. I mean, that very well could have been, you know, people die that way all the time.
I should. You know what? In retrospect, I should have run over the deer. I mean, the deer wasn't that big, but you know, I didn't want the sucker coming through the windshield. Well, what you see with Gordon, it's kind of like watching a 1938 to 1940 Humphrey Bogart movie. He had the classic cigarette. He's the old school guy, the old Korean War dude, you know. Too young for World War II. My dad was World War II. But he was the vanguard. The guys like him started the movement, the CFCC. And guys like James, you know, come along. You know, what James 34, 35, then we need other people coming into the movement because the Gordon Bombs and the Bombardiers and the Keith Alexanders, we're going to die out. And we need other people coming out.
And Keith, both in your 60s, and I'm hoping that you have decades left in both of you. And
me too.
And God willing, you will, and you will be here doing this radio show for that long and then some. But, you know, Gordon had been in this fight since he was a teenager. He was 75 years old when the Lord called him home. And I was there, and it was a – I got to see him, and I hope this isn't insensitive for me to share, but it was just so appropriate. He was wearing his CFCC lapel pin, and so that will go with him and be with him until Resurrection Day. But, you know, here's the thing that we're going to be getting into is just when somebody that you're close with, somebody that has fought the fight and held the line and ran the race.
Never gave back. Never backed up.
Never backed up.
Sacrificed at all.
I've got a video of Gordon and I.
So does Sam Dixon.
Speaking. Well, Sam's still with us, obviously, but yeah, I mean, no, there's so many we could draw upon that have been guests on this show, but
so did Dave, DD.
I got a video of Gordon and I on YouTube that we posted. And it's at our website tonight, but the thing is, when somebody like that passes that you were close with and that you have fought with, I guess if there's any amount of humanity in you, you begin to just do a self-assessment. You get a little introspective, I guess, like Simon and Garfunkel or something. But you look back on your life and you look back on all of the things that you've done and the decisions you've made that have gotten you to where you are now and all of the things Gordon did that led us to the day when our paths crossed. You know, these are the things that I think about when someone passes away. I look back and take stock in my life. You know, when it all comes to an end for me, when I'm called home, you know, what will the legacy be? You know, and I'd like to think that it's certainly very rich right now, but it's, you know, this is something, you know, when Gordon was 35, I'm sure it was rich, but he lived another 40 years. So we've got to continue the struggle for as long as there's breath in us. But the thing about the council is that, listen, you want to talk about the history of this radio show.
Just think Bill. Bill was a Bill.
But that's it. That's what I'm getting at. It was through the council that I met Keith Alexander. We would have not had Keith Alexander on this show if it weren't for the council promoting the political cesspool and Keith starting to call in and listen to the show as a result of the council's publicity. I met Bill Rowland as a result of the council, who in turn introduced me to Winston Smith. So Keith, Bill, and Winston Smith all were introduced to the political cesspool by the council.
James, I remember all too well We were in the beloved bean field, snake-infested, wasp-infested, heat box in the summer, a deep freeze in the winter. The air conditioner always went out in the summer. We were out in the bean field when Keith Alexander called in the first time. I remember I was there. He called in, and people, you don't see people correct Keith Alexander many times. I guess I was being kind of a smart butt that night. Keith called in, didn't know anything from Adam. And I got a kick out of it, but he called in, and he said something like, well, the truth will set you free. I remember that like yesterday. I said, no, the truth will not set you free. Knowledge of the truth will set you free. And you know, that set kind of, I think it kind of galled O'Keefe. But I know he came in, and we had a ball. I'm still joking about that.
Well, and you were on, I think, just before Keith became part of the official staffing crew. Anyway, we're going to make sense of all this. We're going to tie it all in together. Just
Let's
stick with us and find out.
Right after these messages here on the Liberty News Radio Network.
From the days of the Romans, there have been legends of a fountain of youth, and now science has found a real answer to slowing the aging process. I'm Joyce Riley from the Power Hour, and it's so exciting to know that Time Challenger has capitalized on decades worth of international scientific studies to bring you the most powerful mitochondrial DNA supplement on the market today. Mitochondrial DNA is the power plant of human cells, but as we age, we lose more and more of this precious material. Time Challenger promotes healing and gives cells the power to do their work. Mental cognition may be enhanced, skin refreshed, blood pressure normalized, and signs of aging might be reduced. Time Challenger can also provide enhanced recovery for athletes. Time Challenger, the first step to slow the effects of aging on your body. To learn more, call 877-817-9829. That's 877-817-9829, or visit thepowermall.com. Time Challenger just might be your fountain of youth.
I was just looking at the Get Prepared Expo schedule. 10 o'clock, Saturday morning. Aaron Dakins, Emergency Hydration. Dr. Judy Wood, Where Did the Towers Go? Evidence of Free Energy-Directed Technology on 9/11. Dr. Norman Cheely, Lower Your Blood Pressure, Increase Your Endurance. Judy Dollarhite, Water Filtration at Home and on the Go. John Moore, Violent Climate Change, Should You Relocate? Then at 11 o'clock, Mike Ma, How to Negotiate, Bribe, and Barter for Your Life. Tony Pache, Long-Term Food Storage Plans for Your Survival. Matt Stein, When Disaster Strikes. Roy Birdsong, How Cell Phones Work. Get a Cell Phone Plan for $8 a Month. Harry Cooper, History's Big Lies. Hitler and His Wife Did Escape to Argentina. Glenn Meter, Survival Still and Water Distillation During an Emergency. And Stormin' Norman Cantwell, Doing the Unthinkable to Defend Your Life. And that's just 2 hours. We have 13 more to go. The last weekend in March. Tickets just $8 online at GetPreparedExpo.com. That's GetPreparedExpo.com.
If you want to experience the great outdoors in comfort and style, then you need products from Teton Sports. For any of your camping, hiking, or outdoor needs, Teton Sports has top-of-the-line products for any adventure. Our sturdy and lightweight Wilderness 55 backpack has a built-in rain fly and plenty of compartments and pockets, perfect for hiking the mountains or a weekend camping trip. And our 0-degree sleeping bag features Superloft Elite 4-channel hollow fiber insulation for warmth, as well as right and left side zippers to let you zip two Teton bags together. With an adjustable mummy hood and interior storage pockets, our sleeping bags are the best on the market. Teton Sports is all you need for any outdoor adventure. Look for Teton Sports products at Amazon.com, Sportsman Warehouse, or Wholesale Sports. And next time you're preparing for an adventure, think of Teton Sports.
Welcome back. To get on the show, call us on James's Dime at 1-866-986-6397.
All right, everybody. So we were talking in that last segment about the passing of Gordon Baum, longtime CEO of the Council of Conservative Citizens, and how the council has played an indispensable role in the development of the political cesspool for a long, long time. And without them, there would be no Keith Alexander on this show. there would be no Bill Rowland on this show. There would be no Winston Smith on this show. And so that is huge. And I should add, too, the most stirring thing about Gordon's service was they had bagpipes playing Amazing Grace.
And it was just, man.
Ooh, I mean, you know.
That's tough.
But I was happy to be there. And so in looking back on the relationship that I shared with Gordon and looking back on my own life and all of the decisions that were seemingly unrelated at the time that led us to this very night where we're all together, those listening on the show, it is the result of millions of steps and millions of decisions, I guess you could say, or at least a lot of decisions, that we are all here. And I think all of it was by God's providence. And so you know how
you stole my thunder. I was going to say, son, and I call James son because, by God, as far as I'm concerned, James is my son. We're thicker than blood, dad and son. I mean, nothing can come between us. We've been through, you would not believe the battles we've been through. But you stole my thunder, son. God Almighty, in his providence, has kept us together and brought us together. And I didn't want to cut you off, but I was going to tell you to bring that up.
Well, I mean, it just couldn't have happened this randomly and worked out to this extent, at least as far as I believe. But so you know how Keith and Bill and Winston came to be part of the political cesspool? It was because of the cross-pollinization of the council and our program and people meeting people. But how did I get to know Eddie Miller?
It was a little bit more turbulent.
I actually met Eddie a couple of years before I met any of these other guys. And I met Eddie when I was running for state representative in 2002. I had not intended at all to talk about this until midweek. But again, looking back on Gordon, looking back on my life, how we're here tonight, I hope you'll enjoy this. I hope we're not going too far off course because, again, we like to be personable. We like our audience to.
I love to go off course.
Well, I mean I hope the audience enjoys, you know, getting to know us. And we've talked about some of these things
Henry
before.
Henry David Thoreau, son, he said, when you come, he said, take the path less traveled.
Well, but that's what we're doing.
And I got to say one more thing. I know I'm going off a bit. Son Boy said something the other day. And I'll never forget it. And I'm going to start. I might have to re-nickname myself the Bombardier Junkyard Dog. He was talking about his dad. He said his dad was like me. He said he was a junkyard dog. And that's pretty much the way we met. I was out there junkyard dog with these maggots that were trying to run against James. And I knew James was much the superior. And even my 11-year-old grandson was wanting to duke it out with a 19-year-old college guy. But I'm going to shut up now. But
these are all
stories, I'm sentimental.
Forgotten stories almost from my campaign trail from 2002. So
it got violent sometimes.
Not really violent, but I mean,
almost.
It got intense. But here's the thing. So I found this thing called the Wayback Machine, and you can go look at websites that are now defunct, which my campaign website has long since been. I was up late one night working on the show. It's a full-time job. Folks, it really is.
You better know it.
But I went back to my old campaign website, jamesedwards.org, through the Wayback Machine, and I looked at it again for the first time in 13 years because, as you know, folks, I ran for office in 2002 for state
House. James, I got to say one more thing. I've got to say this.
All right.
Listen, I beg you out there in the audience, and I'm not kidding you. Listen, I'm not one to give praise lightly, but I'm going to tell you what. I've read a lot of campaign speeches. If you will go to – is it on the blog, James, your campaign speech?
It is. I copied it. I was about to get to that.
You need to go in there. I'm telling you what, I've read a lot of speeches. I had to rewrite it. And I'm going to – I mean, had to reread it. I read it again last night. And I'm going to tell you what. I'm not kidding you. Chills went up my spine. I'm thinking this came out of the mouth, out of the brain of a 21-year-old?
I was 21 when I wrote that.
21 years old. And listen, I'm telling you what. I was ready to pick up the verbal – bayonet and rifle and march. I would give anything on earth we could come up with the money and get James Edwards back into the political arena and run for United States Senate. Like I told James, sure, it's a dream, but every man that achieves anything great in this life begins with a dream. And I'm telling you flat out, folks, ain't nothing impossible. I'm living proof, and I'm not going to go into it, try to take the sunlight off of James. But, I mean, if you knew my medical history, and I ran 13 miles a day like it ain't Jack. I'm getting ready for the marathon on April the 25th. I will be in New York. I got registered for New York today. But listen, James, you need to read this campaign speech. It's great. I've never seen a better one.
That's what I was about
Keith
to say.
Keith and Winston combined could not come up with anything better.
I'm
telling you flat out.
I appreciate
out.
You saying that, but it's I looked true. At it. I looked at it, and I hope that we're not being too self-indulgent here, because we are going to make a point in a moment that is above and beyond what we're talking about right now. But I went back and was able, through this website called the Wayback Machine, look at an image of my campaign website as it existed in April of 2002. And I was able to see that speech that I wrote. And I remember writing it, and I delivered it on April the 6th of 2002, which is just
my birthday,
Eddie's birthday. I didn't know Eddie on that particular day. I met him later in the campaign, because Eddie was in my district. Eddie actually had the opportunity to vote for me.
I sure did. And it's true to form. Everybody that the political suspect votes for were the kiss of death. They always lose.
Yeah, well, I voted for myself, too, and it didn't do any better. But anyway, I read that speech, and it's been so far removed now that, you know, I was 21 then. I'll be 35 this summer, and I wish I could get in Doc Brown's DeLorean and go back and just, you know, meet my former self, my younger self. And, you know, I thought it was pretty good. And so I posted it.
Yeah, it was better than pretty good. And listen, I'll promise I'll shut up. This was the hey.
Thank you, Sam.
And I agree with Sam. Sam said it was phenomenal. If Sam said it was phenomenal, by Cracky, it was phenomenal. Ain't nobody on this show going to overrule Sam. Sam is a genius. Y'all need to meet Sam sometimes. He'd blow you away. But the point I was trying to make about my stinking marathons a minute ago is a miracle I'm running, and miracles happen. Getting James Edwards into the United States Senate can happen. You cannot tell me. Do not ever tell me nothing. Something is impossible. It's not. Now I'm going to shut up.
Well, I have no plans to run right now. I wouldn't do that to my family. They suffer enough. But
hey, we can get Sam in there.
We gave that a shot, and let me tell you, for the people who don't know, I got started my journey down the path of political activism. And I've mentioned this before, and I'll mention it quickly. 2000, I worked for Pat Buchanan. When that was over, I was hooked, so I wanted to keep on fighting. I was hungry and looking for another way to apply myself. So I decided I spent all of 2001 preparing, learning, getting ready to run for the State House of Representatives here in Tennessee. Now, I was 21 years old when I gave that speech and announced my candidacy. No money, few supporters outside of my immediate family and friends. Keep in mind, this is 2 years before the first broadcast of the political cesspool, so there was no support from the radio audience.
Zeroville.
And I was running it as an independent candidate against an entrenched Republican incumbent, the Speaker of the House, no less, and I was convinced I was going to win.
I'm telling people my very, very favorite part of the speech, James' speech, and his talk was when he said he was convinced he's going to win. Now, you cannot – listen, I'm going to tell you what. You cannot teach spirit. You cannot teach optimism. You cannot teach fighting spirit. And that was my favorite part. That was the political cesspool.
Well,
that was the bombardier. That was James Edwards. That was our spirit. Never say die. You always believe you're going to win. If you don't believe you can win, you will not.
Well, and we did. But I'll tell you what, we still made history.
We came close, James.
Well, I was consumed by that campaign. I worked day and night from April through November, wore out the soles of shoes. We ran ads. We sent out mailers. We had a campaign headquarters that we rented from a local strip mall, a website, dedicated phone line, hundreds of yard signs throughout the district. I mean, it was a legitimate following, and I thought we were quite competitive. And we got under the skin of my opponent so badly that he was caught on tape, as we've mentioned before. Now, this is the Speaker of the House. Elected incumbent. He didn't send a henchman to do it. He got caught on tape going door to door, removing my literature from the homes that I'd left it at. And it made for quite the scandal. It was covered by every local television affiliate here in Memphis for days. He was actually confronted by my father. My father was about... Eddie knows my dad.
10 minutes from jail.
My dad
might kill the bombardier.
It wouldn't have been pretty. He would have gone to jail for sure, but he was held back
when
by
he got
my
him
campaign
out.
Manager. I was on another side of the district campaigning. I wasn't there, but they got it all on tape. My dad confronted him. He opened up Trey Hargett's jacket, and all of my literature fell out, and that was about it. I guess for my dad's unblemished record.
I'd still be in jail.
You know, he was the Speaker of the House. Then, you know, today that guy that I ran against is the Secretary of State.
Listen,
of Tennessee.
I'm going to chime in here. There's a verse in Ephesians, y'all. I hope you don't get bored of me reading it. I'm not going to read it. But it applies perfectly to Trey Stinking Hargett.
And that was the name of the man that I ran against. Who beat me? He did beat me soundly. If we say we came close.
But he
got
20%
of the vote.
Money.
I got 20% of the vote in a three-way race. I wouldn't say it was actually nip and tuck. But, hey, it was the more votes than any other independent had gotten in a three-way race running for state representative in Tennessee ever. And we were going against the Speaker of the House. 20%. I was shocked. I thought I had it. Sense as well.
Amen. Sense. We know, and here's the scripture. I'm not going to look it up. And I'm not going to bore y'all with it because I read it before. But it's in Ephesians. You look it up for yourself, and it says, "We fight not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against the rulers of darkness in this world, against the the spirit of evil in high places." In other words, we fight against evil in high places like Washington D.C. and Trey Hargett, the most evil of people. Get to the top in politics in this world. It's happened. It's been going on for 6,000 years.